According to the weatherman, the temperature will not go below freezing, for at least for the next week. We're probably past the point of a serious snow. For me, that's a good idea. I count as a blessing any form of precipitation which I do not have to personally shovel. On the other hand, a little snow might be better. Because shoveling snow may be the only exercise that most of us get all winter long. There are some devout gym members who go every week and work out. But most people are a lot less active in the wintertime than spring, summer, or fall. And he chose, between not exercising, getting goodies for Christmas, I, who could stand at least, put on a few additional pounds. And we all tend to get a little flabbier, a little more lethargic, more couch potato, and less vigor. Come spring, it's incumbent on us to try to undo some of that, to try to stir up the blood, become a little more active, get in a little better shape. It's true even professional athletes who are supposed to be taking care of their bodies. It's their source of their multi-million dollar income. But baseball teams haven't abolished spring training, because people still show up needing it. They need to work out a little and get back in shape. The same, I think, is true spiritually. We tend to get a little flabby. We probably haven't abandoned religion, committed serious sin by the bushel load, and turned our backs on God or on the church. But we slow down a little. We get a little less active in our prayer. Almsgiving sort of falls off a little. Attention to one another's needs tends to go down with our energy level. It's time to do a little spring training for the soul, to put ourselves back in shape spiritually in order that we be ready to celebrate the great feast of the year, that great three-day festival of the dying and rising of the Lord. And so before opening day of the spiritual season comes upon us, we do a little spring training. And Lent is a time of spring training for the soul. We heard just recently in Matthew's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, what the spiritual discipline practices are: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. And we're warned to do it for its own sake, and not for the sake of what somebody might think for us, think about us, if we do or if we don't. And so this evening we begin to think about that. What about my prayer life? Is there a form of prayer I've been thinking about but haven't really explored? Would this be a good time to begin? Is there a spiritual prayer form that has worked for me? I've just gotten a little lazy about actually doing it. Can I get back to it in a more disciplined way? Can I set serious time in my life aside for prayer? Doesn't have to be hours and hours, probably can't be hours and hours. But can it be every day, if only for a few minutes? I know when I'm in that kind of shape spiritually, I feel better, just as I do when I'm in better shape physically. Maybe it's time to do it. How about fasting? I mean, the law of fasting has been pretty well abolished. Today is a fast day. Good Friday is a fast day. And there are no others. Fridays of Lent are days of abstinence. Great penance for us. Reminds me of the famous line of Cardinal Sheehan when they abolished the universal official Friday rule. It is with the deepest personal regret that I see the noble rockfish, the magnificent Chesapeake Bay blue crab, and the succulent Maryland Chincoteague oyster thus deprived of their accustomed place in the penitential practice of the church. So those rules don't really mean a whole lot to us. To tell a Baltimorean we're going to do penance by eating seafood on the Fridays of Lent, right. Great penance. Is there something we can do? Some form of fasting we can do voluntarily? Be reasonable. Don't ruin your health. Don't go to extremes. But is there something you can do that would be more effective than just a diet? That would be more spiritual discipline? That's sort of the root of the old idea of giving things up for Lent. Granted, that became an exaggeration in itself and became a spiritual competition. I can give up more for Lent than you can. It does me a lot of good, right? What I gain by discipline, I lose by pride. But there's a place for fasting somewhere. Where is it in my life? How do I find it? An almsgiving. One of the great disciplines of the church and of the synagogue before it. Where am I? It's not just giving to the church. What else do I support? Who else do I help? Can I do a little bit more? Could I perhaps do it with a little better grace? Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. All of these things help us get in shape. Just like the calisthenics that they put the people through in Florida for spring training. It's a way of getting ready to rekindle the flame. The flame that we put out tonight was a little one. If it weren't for Don keeping it alive, it would have gone out before I was ready to put it out. So it's not a great act to put it out. But it still produces darkness, more or less. Your eyes are getting accustomed to it now. You can see me up here, at least in outline. Probably the best way to see me, in outline. But there is darkness. Relatively so. And when we get flabby spiritually, we spread darkness. Relatively so. It's not like we were truly evil, spreading malicious darkness in the world. But we're not reflecting the light the way we should. We're not shining God's light into the world. This little light that we put out may appear insignificant, but as a part of God's light, it has its place. We put out a small light by our spiritual flabbiness, but Holy Saturday night, we will kindle a big light. We use this little teeny thing in here for a reason. We go outside and build that 7-foot teepee fire for a reason. It's a reminder that God's light is a lot larger than our darkness. That God's love is a lot stronger than our indifference. That God's mercy is a lot wider than our sin. And to celebrate the ultimate triumph of that in Jesus' self-giving act, where even in the face of death, he will not give up on God, followed 3 days later by the demonstration that even in the face of death, God will not give up on him. This is the great light that we prepare to kindle. So we spend 40 days and 40 nights doing a little bit of spiritual spring training to get ready for that glorious fire, for that wonderful celebration, to clean our hearts and minds and tone them up a bit so that we may enter fully and enthusiastically into our celebration of the dying and rising of the Lord. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.